You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
So anyway. Totally.
I'm actually hitting something a little different tonight. I got Cayman Jack Margarita.
Really?
Yeah.
Margarita. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, it's just I bought this a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, whatever. We just had in the fridge, and I don't know, it's kind of refreshing. So
okay,
I figured I would have one of those while we talked.
Awesome.
A little different than my bourbon.
Right on.
All right, so. Did you see Suzanne's blog post?
I did not look at the blog post yet, no.
Yeah, she had just created a blog post for the new wave new wave songs. So, once again, you know, promoting the link, you know, for the that episode.
He's right.
Like I said, I always go to her Twitter and then just click the link in her Twitter. So,
I got it.
Yeah. But I like the way she writes.
Okay, Banzai Retro Club podcast. Well, there's two.
Yeah, one's the first conversation that we had, and then the one that I had with her without you. And then the one that she just posted was the one for the new wave, favorite new wave songs.
Okay, that's the one I see right now.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to have to read this. Cool. It's not long. That's
no.
good.
No, she keeps them pretty short, simple, and just the way she kind of lays it out, I really dig it.
Cool. I will read this.
Cool.
So... Are we ready to jump in?
Let me check to make sure we are recording. We are recording. Yes. Awesome.
I'm at 5,000 already.
Me too.
Cool.
No, I'm going to... No, I'll leave it alone. All right. Let's see. I got my notes. I got notes, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to make sure I was.
So
in,
do I.
I was making sure I was in the time window that we specified, because it's easily to get off of that time window.
Out of the '90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you start going, oh, that one or that one, and it's like, oh crap, that's not within. That wasn't in the '90s, and you get kind of disappointed. All right, so let's do this.
This is 90-something podcast.
I know it sounds mental, but sometimes I have more fun vegging out than when I go partying. Maybe because my party clothes are so binding.
You're an idiot.
I'll show you. Starting tomorrow, you'll see I'm just as sane as anybody.
But I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Smelly cat, what are they feeding you?
Mentos, the fresh maker.
All right, this is Banzai Retro Club. I am Dave. Online, I've got Scott.
Hey, guys.
And coming at you, we are doing another 1990s topic. We've been throwing a lot of 80s stuff out lately, and I know that we're going to be doing our 80s New Wave show. I've got the 80s Essential Movies things. So I'm thinking the next few topics that we talk about, we should probably just concentrate on 70s, 90s, because we kind of already have like a lot of other 80s content coming.
Right.
But, you know, we'll see how that goes. You know, obviously, you know, a great 80s, you know, if a great 80s topic comes and slaps us right in the head, it's going to, you know, we'll take it, of course.
Right.
But today, what we've decided to talk about was sticking in the 1990s. We wanted to do is Scott and I are going to be giving our favorite Saturday Night Live skits that were aired in the 1990s. So that's the thought process. What we've decided to do was, you know, each of us would come to the table with three. I've actually got five I'm looking at. And the reason why I did that was because I had a feeling that there would be the famous, that was the one I was going to pick.
You know? We have a good chance of overlapping.
Yeah.
A couple picks here.
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. And so that's why I went over by two. Mm-hmm. Because I figured, you know, maybe I'll get lucky and there's going to be one here that you're just not going to pick and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
We, during our pre-conversation, we already were alluding to one called Sweaty Balls, and we actually were, I tangented on it on a previous episode.
Yes, you did.
So I know that one's kind of forefront in our brains right now. Did that hit your top three?
Yes, it does. It does hit it hits my top five for sure.
Yeah.
I can, you know, I kind of juggle a few in that top five, just like music that I pick, you know, favorite songs. If you ask me my favorite song right now, it may be this, or last, you know, 2 days ago, it may have been number three, my number one song. So these, all these skits, and man, I had so much fun today. I binged on YouTube a bunch of 90s skits and I forgot how funny it was. And I miss it. I do miss it. The cast. And can we touch on that? On the cast?
Sure.
First, let's go into that first.
Yeah, the one thing that I just wanted to make sure that I put that out there is as I was going through and looking at the different skits, and of course there are ones that immediately came to mind as soon as I knew this topic was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And the one that I initially thought of, and it doesn't fall in the 90s, is Cowbell, you know.
Oh, it's 2001, right?
Yeah, or 2000, actually, I think.
2000, okay.
Yeah, so it is right there on the cusp. And I was like, damn it, because I wanted that one. Because I loved, you know, I got a fever, and this only kill is more Cowbell.
Yeah, Christopher Walken is outstanding in that one, and Will Ferrell's freaking hysterical in that one.
Well, just pretty much anything. Yeah. But okay, I just wanted to say that it would be easy to fall off of the timeline of the decade, and that's why I was trying very sure that as I was looking things up, I wanted to make sure I got their original air date so that I didn't go over
the decade. And I did check a couple of my picks. I didn't check them all, so hopefully they fall into that. I really do think they do, though.
Okay.
By what they're mocking, you know, or joking about. So
right, okay. So the cast. You wanted to talk about the cast.
So let's talk about this cast. Okay, when Saturday Night Live started, you had an amazing cast. Also, you know, you started off with, you know, the Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, and all those guys back from the early days, and then the 80s. I don't remember. I believe that some of the cast of the 90s kind of trickled in at the end of the 80s and became the cast of the 90s that I remember so well. Now, this is one of the few TV shows that I really remember a lot of bits and pieces of from the 90s. Other than that, I really don't I would have to really dig to try to figure out what TV shows that I recall. But this one, man, you had hold on, let me get my list here. So first of all, Will Ferrell,
yeah,
big in the 90s, came in mid 90s and or early 90s and lasted quite a while on there. Phil Hartman, Dana Carvey, Victoria Jackson, Mike Myers, Jan Hooks, Sherry O'Terry, Daryl Hammond, Chris Farley, Tim Meadows, John Lovitz, Al Franken, Norm Macdonald, Molly Shannon, Chris Parnell, Chris Kattan, Rachel Dratch, Tracy Morgan, Jimmy Fallon, Kevin Nealon, David Spade, Anna Gasteyer, Julia Sweeney, Melanie Hutsell, Michael McKean, and there were more. I can't even name them all, but that was just like those are all the names that really, really jumped out at me as impactful, like really impactful.
Right, right.
And so many.
Yeah, as you were naming them, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, right, yep.
And this was all of that 90s cast, really. And there's even a couple in there that I can picture, but I can't remember their names. I'd have to pull them up, dig a little deeper. But, man, so many funny people that really went on to do a lot. And a few that we've lost over the years, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Phil Hartman was a tragic story of, you know, that he was murdered. And then you got Chris Farley, who, you know, he was just burning the, you know, both ends.
Yeah.
And just going too nuts and couldn't handle it. I can't remember who else, if there was anybody else that passed in that time frame from then. But then if you look at some of the people that have just moved on to other things, look at Jimmy Fallon with his late night show.
Yeah.
Oh, he's huge in the late night show. Who else went on? I mean, think about Will Ferrell's career after that and Dana Carvey and Mike Myers going on from there.
David Spade has had a David great, Spade. Yeah, has a mm-hmm. wonderful mm-hmm. movie career.
Oh, yeah. I did list him. Okay,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some awesome names in this list. So, and I'm sure as we talk about it, a lot of people that are listening are going to, you know, have certain ones jump out of them as their favorites.
Of course.
And, yeah, I don't even know where to start with my favorites on that list because I love so many of these comedians.
Well, I mean, are you claiming the Sweaty Balls as one of yours, or am I claiming it?
You can if you want. I think it's hysterical. It's one of my favorite episodes. But we can talk about guests also.
Okay.
Like recurring guests, like Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Dude, he's freaking hysterical. And how, like, if you want to talk about the Shreddy Balls real quick, that specific skit, how they all three of them, it was Anna Gasteyer, Molly Shannon, and Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
How they were able to not just completely bust up laughing on live TV is way beyond me. I can't get it.
Yeah, they were so deadpan.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. it's just... Their delivery, it's kind of like watching or listening to Stephen Wright, the comedian, who's kind of like his whole, you know.
Very dry,
deadpan. And I know they're mocking NPR radio. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of like the, you know, here's what those shows sound like. And I just watched this maybe an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Anna Gasteyer, Molly Shannon, you know, they're sitting there at, you know, doing their intro, talking about what they want for Christmas. It was so hilarious, the deadpan delivery. And just, and then when Alec Baldwin comes out as Pete Schwede, it takes it to a whole new level. And yeah. You're right. If I'm there, I'm cracking up. And I would be very similar to like the, you know, the old Carol Burnett show where everybody right. was like trying to get each other to laugh. I would have been like, I would have to try to like keep my hand over my mouth because I would be like busting up so much.
And you do see that occasionally because some of the stuff that I binged today, I saw where either guest guests on the show.
Right.
Or even the regular cast. It's just like they try to turn their head just a certain way so that they can kind of hide the laughing that they're doing, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's contagious too.
It is.
You know, not just within the cast, but to you, you know, you find it, people, I think, as they're watching those kind of bloopers, like everybody loves to watch bloopers. So it makes it more funny. So when you watch somebody doing something live like that and they start laughing, the other cast members laughing, it just makes it funnier. I don't know why. It's a interesting psychological thing that goes on. So anyway,
I think my favorite part of that skit was when they're trying the balls and then they're like, we're really enjoying your balls, and then Pete Schwede says, well, my balls are here for your pleasure. It's like, love it, absolutely love it. I couldn't stop giggling. I'm sitting there, I've got my computer so on, I've got my headphones on, and I'm sitting there, and my wife is working on her PTO stuff, and she's just looking over at me like, what the hell are you doing? And I just couldn't, like, stop laughing. So
yeah. Dave, why are you laughing like a 12-year-old right now?
Yeah, exactly.
And then they followed it up with a Shreddy Wieners years later. I don't know when that actually came out, but that was pretty funny too.
Yeah.
But anyway, so is that one of your top three picks?
We'll list that as my first pick then.
As your first pick? Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good first pick.
Yeah. And really. I think it's important that we lead off with that one just for the fact that we kind of have played around with that.
We've brought it up several times in past shows.
Right.
It's made an appearance.
Yeah, and so it needs its spot right at the beginning of our discussion.
Mm.
So I've done my first pick. What's your first pick?
So, wow. So I wasn't sure what order we're going in, but order doesn't really matter at this point because there's, like I said before, a handful that are kind of always in that top five and just juggling around, you know, it depends on my mood that day. The one that, so as I was watching, I was going through and reviewing all the shows, 1990. So early in the decade was when Patrick Swayze and Chris Farley did the Chippendales tryouts.
Oh my God.
I had to check the date on that because I knew it was pretty early on. So I went and I looked it up, and it's like
October 27th.
Episode 16 of 1990 or whatever it was. So I wanted to make sure that one fell in there because that one is just too freaking funny. And I think the funniest part of it is not just Chris Farley and his physical comedy, but at the end when they're like – When they're like talking to each other, like, oh, you did great. You're the one. You've got this. You've got this wrapped up. Just so their interactions between Chris Farley and Patrick Swayze or Adrian and Barney, their interaction at the end of the thing was just too funny. And then Adrian, Patrick Swayze, is trying to talk up Barney on his moves and stuff in front of the judges, and just so freaking funny, so well played. And Patrick Swayze looked really good, like he was in perfect shape at the time. His hair was amazing. his hair was amazing,
and very nicely coiffed. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, too freaking funny.
Yeah, this was on my list, but not as one of my three unless you took one of my other ones. So right, you just stole one of my honorable mentions at this point. Mm. I love this skit. And the end part, when he's kind of doing – when Patrick Swayze's character, Adrian, is doing the inner dialogue, and then they start playing the I Had the Time of My Life song from Dirty Dancing. That was just gold. Comedy Gold is what that was. Yeah, wow. I don't remember seeing Barney again, but you know, he's the one that pushed me to be better, and it's like,
yeah,
it's like, come on, man, that's awesome. So
that is, I was freaking hysterical. And as I was watching a lot of these shows today, I found myself, and Chrissy had gone over to a friend's house. They're working on a little project for some of the Greyhounds or whatever. And so I sat there and I watched it by myself. I was laughing by myself, just laughing out loud to so many of these skits. So to narrow it down to like a top three that we're talking about and a few honorable mentions that I know we're going to have to talk about too. But to narrow it down like this has been, it was not easy to do. But this one jumped out at me. It's just one of the funniest physical comedy bits that I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually almost reached out to you and said maybe we should have two of these, and one's like the beginning part of the decade and one's the second part of the decade.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I mean,
I almost did that, but I'm not ready for that now, so we've got to kind of continue on.
Yeah, I didn't do enough digging in to see which episodes fell into which part of the decade.
Right.
So I would have had to gone really like dug in and figure it out.
Right.
So.
But I think it would have been easy to do that though, because there was so much good stuff.
Oh, there's a lot of material.
Yeah.
In fact, I was thinking as I'm watching all these skits, I'm going, there's so much more we could tackle. Like, we could do a two-parter on this one, no problem at all. Like you said, first half, second half, or just do, you know, multiple picks. And then as I was watching some of these things, they threw in a couple commercials that they had done. You know, they're spoof commercials.
Right.
Which were hysterical, too. I'm like, we could do a whole show just on the commercials that they did. Like the lung brush. Do you ever see the lung brush one?
I don't remember that one, no.
So it's for smokers, and you just take a brush and you clean out your lungs, and they it's actually Chris Farley doing part of the thing, and he takes a brush and put, you know, like acts like he's putting it down his throat, and then it, you know, he's got his head back and he like pulls the brush out and it's covered in tar. It's the lung brush. Or like today I saw Crystal Gravy. It's clean. It's clear gravy. It's just great. Or did you ever see the one called Balls Off?
No.
So it's a pill that the wife gives the husband to kind of, you know, make him be more like where he like takes care of the kids and he cleans up. Yeah. Balls Off.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. And that's definitely 90s, because I remember it was Jan Hooks and Kevin Nealon were the husband and wife in that commercial. So, see, I mean, we could go on and on just with that stuff, but
yeah.
So maybe we should jump back into our picks. What do you think?
Yeah, probably a good idea.
Well, okay. So, what's the second one you want to talk about?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out which one I want to talk about first.
Okay. Which one are you saving for last? That's what you're thinking. Which one do I want to save for the Coup de Gras, right?
Yeah. All right, well, let's do this. Let's go, what is that, January, February, March, April, May 18th, 1996, Jacuzzi Lifeguard, Jim Carrey, Will Ferrell. So we have Jim Carrey, who's the lifeguard for a jacuzzi. Will Ferrell is just in the hot tub and... You know, and he doesn't understand why this guy is over the top and why he's like, you know, being this as crazy as he is and being just essentially a lifeguard for the hot tub.
He's a hard ass.
Yeah.
Hard ass lifeguard. Yeah. Hot tub. Yeah.
And I can't stop. Like, it's one of those things I can watch over and over and over again. And every time I do, I can't stop laughing because Will Ferrell is wonderful playing the straight man, and Jim Carrey is just over the top Jim Carrey, as you would expect Jim Carrey to be. And I just absolutely, there's every bit of this I love. You know, the whole thing where he's like, you know, swimmer, we need you to come back to the wall. You know, he's waving the flags.
Yeah, he's got the flags out. Yep. He uses the bullhorn.
Yeah.
Before that.
Mm-hmm. And then when he like starts cramping, he goes, "It's not your time." It's just beautiful. Beautiful comedy, and I love this skit.
So that was one that came up today on while I was watching, and it is pretty funny, but I had to pass it by because it was Jim Carrey. Only not because I don't like Jim Carrey, only because it was post In Living Color Jim Carrey.
Okay.
So I was having a hard time combining the two, like Saturday Night Live and In Living Color. Him being from In Living Color and then coming to Saturday Night Live just as a guest. I know he was just guesting, but
right.
He's funny, and that's a hilarious skit, but I had to rule it out as one of my favorites for sure.
Because he was...
I don't know. I felt like I didn't want somebody from another comedy show that was...
Kind of stealing the
competition. It was competition, and you know, at one point for Saturday Night Live.
Okay. Huh.
So I don't know. It's a weird thing. Just some weird thing in my head.
All right. Well, yeah. For me, it was just comedy gold because of you had these two greats like Will Ferrell and Jim Carrey. Just being wacky together. But you know. It wasn't so much wackiness from Will Ferrell, but it was just him being, you know, the straight man and, you know, just, yeah, I don't know. I just, it's so weird. It wasn't like he wasn't going over the top, but because he wasn't, that's what was funny about it.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
All right. So then what's your next pick?
Well, I just want to say that my last show wasn't my best show, but that's okay. Because I know that I'm good enough and I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know it. I'm just trying to. It was Hartman, right?
It's Stuart Smalley.
Okay. No. Yeah. That's
and,
right.
And,
yeah.
And it's played by Al Franken.
That's right. Yep.
And I don't know why his Stuart Smalley skits crack me up so much, but they do. And the one that I watched today was the one with Michael Jordan in it, and it's hysterical. Like, there's a point when Michael Jordan, like we were talking about how it's contained, you know, you have a hard time keeping it together. Like the way Alec Baldwin and Sherry, not Sherry O'Terry, Molly Shannon and Anna Gasser were able, they were able to keep it together with no problem on the shreddy balls. Although Anna and Molly smiled a little bit. I think they were trying to hold back.
Yeah.
But in this one, Michael Jordan actually starts to laugh, and he pulls it together. And I was so happy for him. Like, he's like, you can see him. He's about to go over the edge, and he takes just a quick little breath, and he stops. And he continues with his dialogue. And he was able to keep it together without losing it. And I was so impressed with Michael Jordan. I'm like, you know, he's a great basketball player, but dang, he's doing pretty good at this comedy thing too. It's just that specific skit is one of my favorites from Stuart Smalley, but I just liked all of the Stuart Smalley daily affirmation things. It's very funny to me.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, I remember Stuart Smalley and I remember really enjoying it, but I don't remember the skit with Jordan.
You should look it up. It's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
That's why I started off with saying my last show wasn't my best show, but that's okay. Because he says that in the beginning of that.
Right.
So funny.
That comedy is so great, you know, because, you know, they were looking at it from the, you know, all the self-help kind of things that were going on. And they really just kind of, you know, took the comedy edge on that and just, you know, it was just, yeah, it's just so well done. You know, you had so much things in the 90s of, you know, these self-help gurus. And, mm-hmm. you know, for having this guy that's, like, really flawed and, you know, just kind of laying it all out there. But, you know, in a comedic way, it's perfect.
And in every skit that he does as Stuart Smalley, they have him, like, have a little mini breakdown in the middle of it. You know, like, oh, I'm just terrible at this. I should not be doing this, and I'm not worthy. And then he kind of regroups and pulls himself together at the end and you know, finishes on a positive note. But in a lot of them, he kind of takes like this really dark turn to add more to the comedy. Now, did you ever see the movie that they did about that?
No, I did not.
I saw it, but it was not memorable, so I'm not sure. I don't remember how funny it was, but it was called Stuart Saves His Family.
I could kind of relate to that way of thinking because, I mean, I just posted one of those essential movie episodes where I was like, don't listen to this episode. So I get it.
That was funny, dude. I liked it.
I totally get it.
Don't miss this episode.
I'm telling you, it's going to suck. Just move on to the next one. I'm sure I'll be better. But yeah, so that was I get it, and I would completely relate. So in a way, I did my own Stuart Smalley.
So yeah, so that's my that was my second pick.
Okay. All right. So my final. Is one that I've probably shown my kids way too much, and they are so familiar with the catchphrase of this that all I've got to do is, you know, say pretty much three words, and they're like, oh, great, this again. So it was released November 13th, 1999,
Simadana. Whoa. Simadana
with Cherry O'Terry, and okay. The one I'm thinking about is the first one, which is there in Wilson's Sporting Goods or Wilson's Department Store, and Garth Brooks was actually the co-star with Cherry O'Terry.
Okay.
And so they're working the returns counter, and Cherry O'Terry is playing Nadine. And she, you know, everybody, you know, when they come up to the counter and they're like, oh, I'd like to return this item. She goes, everybody just need to simmer down now. And I probably just overdid that so much with my kids now. So, I mean, when I start joking around and, you know, like everybody's like, you know, talking all at once or something like that. And I throw out a simmer down now. You know, and you know it.
Nice.
Yeah, I've got to throw that out there. I've got to use that phrase. That's Dad 101 for me.
I like that. Yep. That's funny.
Yep.
I don't remember that skit at all. I remember Garth Brooks being on a couple times over the years, especially in the 90s. He did one with Chris Kattan that was pretty funny called Mango.
Okay. He actually. Do you remember Mango? I don't. But yeah. But Garth really did a good job with this.
He's funny, dude.
Yeah,
he's funny, and he did a good job.
Yeah, and
maybe not as good as Alec Baldwin, but he's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he was able to, you know, really still sell the comedy of it, and he like, yeah, you know, you could tell he knew his lines, he knew what he was doing. You know, he was believable in the skit as her manager.
We could totally do. Another episode just on guest hosts.
Yeah, we totally could. But yeah, so Simadana now. You know,
it's one word, right? Simadana.
Well, you know, I mean, the way
it sounds like it's delivered as one word. That's awesome.
It kind of is, yeah. But yeah. You know, there's this one portion of that skit where, you know, she's like. What do you, you know, how do you prepare collard greens? And it was like, you simmer them. Opposite up, down.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like now later candy. And she
now and later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now and later. And then she covers like part of it and she goes, "What's this say? Now? Simmer down now." And then Garth Brooks is right there and he's like, "Store policy." You know, and it was just, it was hilarious. It's just, you know, the way that, you know, that was kind of like every, you know, the whole thing was if somebody just was even talking, even just a little bit, like, you know, "I'd like to return this shirt. Everybody just need to simmer down now." You know, it was just over the top. And I absolutely loved this skit. And I love it because it's one of those things that has endured because of me pushing it on my kids.
And that is, that's Sherry O'Terry.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
She was one of my favorites on that show.
Yep.
There's several Simmer Down Now skits.
There is. She actually did one at a like a burger place with Toby McGuire.
And then there was one in an emergency room, which I'm seeing that. That's funny. I'm gonna have to go back and look at these because I don't remember those at all. I miss those.
Yeah, I think even in the burger place, she was doing this where she's acting like she's trying to start like an imaginary motorcycle, and she's going, "Simma ma 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 ma, simma ma 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 ma, simma ma 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 ma, simma down down down, simma down now." You know, it's just hilarious. The way she delivers it.
Oh, you know, I just saw something on Twitter.
Okay.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I posted something about the show that we're doing right now.
Okay.
And somebody came back. Michelle from Hell is the Twitter name. Toonces the driving cat. I totally forgot about that.
Toonces. Love it.
The driving cat. Did you ever see that one?
Yes.
Oh, it's hysterical.
Was that 90s? Okay. It had to be.
Yeah, it was because of Victoria Jackson. It might have been it could have been brought over from the late 80s into the 90s, but yeah. Yeah. It's a cat who could drive a car. That's hysterical. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your.
No.
Simmer down now.
Yeah, I was.
Simmer down now.
92. Oh, no, that was a TV movie, 92. Toonces the cat who would drive a car.
It's a TV movie?
In 1992, they made it into a TV movie.
Wow. That's rough. They're reaching. I mean, a lot of movies came out of that, you know, that cast.
Right.
But wow. Toons is the driving cat, really?
Woo. Yeah, I think at best you've got 30 minutes.
Right.
All right, so that was my number one. What is your next and final?
We definitely have to do honorable mentions because I really can't narrow it down to just three. I'm really struggling here, Dave.
All right, well then just flip a coin and give me your next one.
Okay, so back in the, I think it was probably the late 90s, early 2000s, we went to a Halloween party. And we wanted to come up with something. I think it was like you had to come up with like couples, you know, it was couples thing.
Right.
Right. So Chrissy and I actually made the Spartan cheerleader costumes. So I was Will Ferrell and she was Sherry O'Terry, of course. But we actually practiced and performed a cheer from one of the skits, a short portion of it, not the whole thing. We actually practiced one of the skits and performed it for people at the party. So that's always been one of my favorites. And I just watched that same episode a little bit ago and Chrissy had just gotten home. I'm like, "Oh, this is the one. Remember this?" And we did, you know, so she watched and we were both laughing pretty good with this one. So it was the, when they were cheerleaders for the chess team. Who's that Spartan in my TP? It's me. It's me. UGK. Why? You ain't got no alibi, you ugly. It's just, it's these, they did it so well, and it was just so funny. And our costumes were homemade, and we did pretty good job on that too. But we cannot replicate what they did on that episode or on that skit. They're just too hysterical the way they interact with each other, and I just love them.
You know what this pick calls for?
What?
The perfect cheer.
The perfect cheer. I love it. That's awesome, dude.
Hi, Dick. Come on.
You took my next honorable mention.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yep. So that was January 20th, 1996. I love the part where the guy comes over and he's like complaining at them because it's a chess game.
It's a the chess team is making fun of you.
Yeah. And I would want to go out with you, but I'm not going to. It's like, yeah, it's just like getting berated by the chess team is like the lowest of low. You know, but then she's like, you know, it wasn't that dude, but it was like when she's like, okay, call you later. You know, as she does that delivery every time she's on it, she's always yelling at somebody across the way.
Yeah.
I love this skit. And I had picked the chess game one because I thought that, you know, being very apropos with my background, you know, being
captain the chess team,
right? Mm-hmm. So if we would have had a cheer section, that really would have just taken our games to the next level, I think. So I think we needed, you know, some cheerleaders.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. And once again, Will Ferrell, Cherry O'Terry, I mean, they're gold together. They are absolutely.
They really are. Yeah. They do play well off each other.
Yep.
Although I will say, Will Ferrell did play pretty funny skits with Rachel Dratch too.
Which one was she?
She was the one that was in the jacuzzi, the lover.
Oh yeah.
Which may have been like 2000, 2001. I think it was a little bit later, but that was comedy gold too. So anyway, do you want to throw out a couple honorable mentions?
You took all mine.
We'll have any others? Come on, you don't have any backups.
I wrote down Chippendale's audition. You took that. Spartan Cheerleader. You took that. Those were my. I mean, the only thing I could think that we didn't bring up was Wayne and Garth.
Hmm.
That
would be my next pick.
Okay. So then if you're on an honorable mention, then which one of the Wayne and Garth ones would you're thinking of?
I got to go with the Aerosmith episode or Aerosmith appearance and Tom Hanks. So did you know that one?
I vaguely. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
So Garth's cousin, who Tom Hanks plays, I can't remember his name or the character's name, but Garth's cousin is a roadie for Aerosmith. Right? Okay. And so for him to get Aerosmith to come on Wayne's show, Wayne agreed to interview him first, right? So they have Tom Hanks come down the stairs and he, you know, come into the basement and they're sitting in the basement and they're doing their chit chat and he's like, okay, so what do you do at the beginning of the show? How do you get it going? And Wayne says to him, so he gets up and he grabs some microphones and goes, check, check, one, two, sibilance, you know, and it's something that I throw out there in conversations all the time.
You do.
Yeah. I don't know why. Most people just, it completely goes over their head. They have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm like, check, one, two, sibilance. In certain situations where they can't hear me or something or can't, you know, the communication is breaking down. So anyway, Tom Hanks does his thing and then they say that Aerosmith is upstairs in the breakfast nook. So they go to the Nook Cam, right?
Right.
And they have a camera. They have a camera set up for the breakfast nook. And so Aerosmith's sitting at his breakfast table, and both Wayne and Garth are like freaking out. They're, you know, they're all excited. And then they go back to the basement for a second with a shot, and then they shoot back up to the breakfast nook. And now Garth's mom is showing them like baby pictures in a photo album or something. And so they have to like go there. No, move, Garth. Go get him, or you know, or Garth's cousin goes and runs upstairs and goes to get him, and then they actually sing a Wayne's World song, the theme song, with Aerosmith. So it's pretty cool. It's a good one. It's a good episode of it. Good version of it, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, the Wayne and Garth episode that comes to my mind is the Madonna one. So it was when like there was like this dream sequence of him making out with Madonna and Justify My Love, that song. Yeah.
That's pretty funny too.
Yep.
That's a good one. Cause they start were they spoofing the movie that she made or something?
I know that.
No, like, that was something else. That was something else I'm thinking of.
Well, I mean, I knew that was like shortly after she got kind of banned from MTV.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, you know, if, you know, they were just kind of having fun with the taboo part of her persona.
And they like Wayne and her were like fully making out.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So what other like obvious ones or what other honorable mentions do you have?
The Bears.
Oh, man. Nice.
1990-1991.
Yep.
Because they actually mentioned, they say, 6 years ago, a certain team from a certain city. So it was, you know, that was 85-86 when that happened. So that was how I was able to gauge that it was in the 90s that they did it. Because I didn't look up the time frame on that.
Yep.
But I just saw super fans come across, and it was, you know, Chris Farley and Mike Myers was part of it, and George Wendt from Cheers.
Yep.
And then the fourth guy, I can never remember the guy's name, but he pulled off a killer mustache.
Let's see if I can do this. Let's see, Superfans.
Are you gonna look it up?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good one. Superfans. Saturday
okay,
Night
we're
Life.
Not. We're not doing a 80s essential movie, so you can do that.
I can do that. I'm good. Bill Swirsky's Superfans. Let's see here. Da, 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 da. History. Do they just have a cast of characters? No. I've got to do a lot of reading in order to get to this.
So let me throw out there real quick. And I'm not going to mention another episodes or skits specifically, but there was a lot of other skits that were just like one-time skits that were always funny too. Like most of the ones that we talked about were recurring. Maybe not the Sweaty Balls one, but it did have two skits of it. But a lot of these we're talking about, like the Cheerleaders had multiple episodes of it. Wayne's World had multiple, you know, viewings of it where it kept coming back as a regular skit. The Chris Farley and Patrick Swayze one was a solo one, I think.
Yeah.
Superfans was definitely redone several times.
Yes, it was.
And Stuart Smalley was a staple.
Yeah.
For a period of time. Another one that we did not mention that was on quite a bit was It's Pat.
Yeah.
With Julia Sweeney.
Yep.
Hysterical.
That's when nobody could really tell whether she was a female or a male.
Right. Right. And her boyfriend or girlfriend's name was Chris.
Right.
And they were kind of questionable also. Right. We were talking about the Garth Brooks earlier.
Yeah.
The one with Chris Kattan that I mentioned called Mango was really creepy. So Chris Kattan plays this like a performing artist, okay? Like a Lady Gaga almost.
Okay.
But Mango, and he's very flamboyant and you don't know, ambiguous, I guess you would say.
Okay.
And Garth Brooks is obsessed with Mango and needs to be near Mango and be in the changing room with him. It's really bizarre. It's a very bizarre episode. But Chris Kattan cracked me up with that. And Chris Kattan also did a monkey where he was a monkey, which was hysterical, where he would eat an apple and just like chew through an apple, no problem. It's funny stuff. There's so many great skits from the 90s. And Dave, I'm so glad that you brought this up, like, as a topic. Because this hadn't crossed my mind in a long time, talking about this stuff. But as soon as you brought it up, like, oh, there's a lot of material here. A lot of material.
Yeah, I was just actually, as you were talking, I was trying to think of, like, skits that were, like, recurring. Do you remember Phil Hartman's Anal Retentive Chef?
Oh, yes, I do. Or Al Franken as the roaming reporter or whatever. He always had like a satellite dish attached to his back.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
During the news,
yeah.
You know?
Oh my god.
There's so many, like, really the 90s was a real high point for Saturday Night Live.
It was.
It really, I believe there's just so much talent on the cast. You know, Michael Anthony Hall was on that cast for a little while.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I can't remember when he was. It was either late 80s or early 90s.
Yeah, I don't think he had a very long run, though.
He didn't last very long. Yeah. He had like one or two seasons, I think.
Yeah.
Of course, you can't, you know, I don't mean to go on, but we can't forget about the news segment that they always had, too, with Dennis. Dennis Miller was awesome as the news guy.
Yeah.
And then you had Norm MacDonald, who was funny as the news guy.
I was definitely more of a fan of Dennis than I was Norm.
I agree, but Norm MacDonald did an amazing Burt Reynolds on the Jeopardy.
He did. Oops. I agreed.
And I'm surprised you didn't bring one of those up. I really thought you were going to bring up one of the Jeopardy spoofs.
Yeah, if anything for Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's your phone number?
What does the sound?
Two.
What does the sound of a doggy? Moo. What does that mean? It's the sound your mother made last night.
Yeah,
it's so wrong. But I don't know where that spin of that and that was another recurring thing. They would do the Celebrity Jeopardy. I don't know where the whole Sean Connery sleeping with Alex Trebek's mother came in, because I saw an earlier one that he didn't say anything like that. Like, he didn't insult Trebek at all.
Yeah, and I guess the play would be that, you know, Sean Connery is just, you know, the megastar that he is. You just feel that he would be kind of condescending to Trebek.
I could see.
Yeah. So I could see that's just them taking that and going, you know, taking it to the next level and just having really, you know, over-the-top fun with it.
Yeah.
And yeah, that had crossed my mind to look up one of those, but, I mean, obviously I already had, yeah, some great picks in front of me.
You got a full plate. Like, like as I was watching all this stuff, I'm like, we could do easily two or three episodes out of this.
Part one, part two, part three.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, hell, dude, you could do an episode on each one of these actors. Literally.
Oh, you mean like an icon episode.
Cast. I mean, you could do like icons of pretty much this whole cast.
I mean, you could do that even with like the 70s and 80s.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't know about 80s. I didn't follow too much of the 80s other than the early 80s when like Bill Murray was on and
right.
Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd and that stuff. But there was like a gap in there between.
Yeah, like, probably, yeah, I would say the late 80s.
84 to 89, I could not name anybody that was on the show.
Right. Kind of their dark ages for Saturday Night Live.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and see if I could find some of those episodes and see if there's anything really out there. See who was on it.
Church Lady. We didn't bring up Church Lady.
Yeah, I saw one of those today, too, with Rob Lowe. Freaking hysterical.
I don't think I ever saw that one.
That's good stuff. Church Lady spanks Rob Lowe with a paddle.
Church Chat with Rob Lowe. I'm making a note here. I'm going to go back and find that one.
Yeah. There's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much for one episode. Although we squeezed this all in an hour.
Yep. Well, in that special.
In that special.
In that special. We'll talk amongst yourselves.
That's another one.
Yeah.
We didn't even touch on that.
Coffee Talk.
Which was originally with a different character.
Who was original?
Well, it was Mike Myers, but he started off as Paul, a guy with gray hair, and then it went into his into the lady.
Okay.
So, in fact, the one that I watched today was where it was, you know, he dressed as a woman, like, you know, the stereotypical Jewish New York woman.
Right.
And he had Madonna and Roseanne as his guests on that episode.
Interesting.
Of Coffee Talk.
Yeah.
And they played a couple of New York girls that are just over the top. Big poofy hair and
but,
it's funny stuff.
Yeah, you're sweet like honey butter.
Yeah, it's like butter. Yep. Like Barbara Streisand. She's like butter.
I got a little phlegm in my throat. Talk amongst yourselves.
I'm feeling verklempt. Talk amongst yourselves. I'll give you a topic.
Saturday Night cat. Live. Toons is the cat.
Cats. Cats that can drive.
All right. So what? hell, we've lost control, man. We're all over the board here. All right. So anything else? 90s Saturday Night Live that we wanted to? Well, I mean, there's too much to say, but anything that you didn't mention that was on your list?
No, not right now. I don't know. There's just so much good stuff. Like I remember. Okay, one more.
Okay.
One more skit.
One more.
And this is Dana Carvey, and Sigourney Weaver was on it. Oh my God! I just remembered another one that was really funny too with Alec Baldwin. So Dana Carvey is supposed to be this brilliant songwriter, right?
Okay.
And Sigourney Weaver is there, and there's a couple other people in the room, and they're like, oh, you know, what are you working on right now? So Dana Carvey sits down at the piano, and he's musically talented. Dana Carvey can play drums like I can't believe how good he can play drums. But he sits down at the piano and he starts going, and my lady, she went downtown, she bought some broccoli.
Chopping broccoli.
She brought it home. She's chopping broccoli. That's chopping broccoli. I mean, really, where do they come up with this shit? And I don't know. That might have been late 80s. Might have been 89.
86.
Wow, that far back. Huh. Okay.
Oh, no, wait. No, I'm sorry. Hold on. That's Sigourney Weaver, Buster Poindexter, Danny Carvey as Lane Maxwell.
Okay.
Is that the guy that
Could be. I don't know. You'd have to look up the chopping broccoli.
Yeah, 96. Or 86, I mean. 86. Yep.
Wow, I can't believe that was 86.
Yep. And that's, what I talked about at the beginning of this episode, is I knew that it would, you know, the lines are going to be blurred because we're going to remember things, you know, that are going, you know, either before or after the decade. And you just brought up a great example of one for late 80s that was funny, you know, because of Dana Carvey.
Okay, I got to find one other one that I got to see if it's how do you figure out which episode it is? How did you look it up?
Well, I first looked up Dana Carvey's Sigourney Weaver just to see what would pop up, and then I scrolled down and looked at some of the descriptions.
Okay.
And then I found Chopping Broccoli.
Okay, I gotta see. Oh. Dang it. 93. Could have been 93. But,
All right, us Googling stuff is not good audio I know. For a podcast. I'm sorry, listener.
So, Alec.
Really? Alec, this is. We're bad, but our next show is going to be better. We promise.
So He played a character called the Mimic. Did you ever see the Mimic?
Who played that?
Alec Baldwin.
No.
Okay, so he plays this. He's supposed to be a detective. He calls himself the Mimic, where he claims that he can imitate any voice that he hears. Right, and so Julia Sweeney is the other person in the skit. And so Alec is supposed to be imitating Julia Sweeney, and he sounds nothing like her. Oh, yes, hello. Yes, this is. And you could just totally tell. And she's looking at him like, "Are you kidding me? You're supposed to be mimicking me." It's just a really funny bit, but I can't find it on a list anywhere. So I don't know what year it was. It says 93 for one of them, but could have been earlier.
Yeah, I think it's 93.
Okay. When was Julia Sweeney on? That's a good question right there. There she is, 90 to 94. So it had to be in the early 90s. Okay, good. So that one qualifies.
Yeah,
the Mimic.
It does,
and it's a pretty funny skit. If you can find it. Anyway. All right. You want to wrap it up?
So this is the portion of the show that we remind you guys that we have a website that's out there. That's BANZAI, RetroClub.com. On there, you can go to our social media links. You can leave us a voicemail. There's also a section where you can do a contact us, but if you want to just be traditional about it and shoot us an email, that's McFly, McFly, at BonsaiRetroClub.com. We'd love to get your feedback, and, you know, if you have, you know, some additional 90s SNL skits that we didn't talk about that are your favorites, we'd love to hear from you. So the other thing we'd like you to do is go out there on your Apple device and give us a rating, review, and subscribe to the podcast. You can also do that with almost any other of those podcast listening apps that you may use, or, you know, websites. There's ways that you can leave comments. There's ways that you can do follows, you know, and I'm thinking about the Podbean, or I'm talking about Stitcher, or all that stuff. We're out there, so whatever is your favorite, then go out there and do the comments and follows and all that stuff. We'd appreciate it. So with all of that in mind, we'd like to remind everybody, just be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Bye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was a skit. Yeah, that was a skit, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah. It was
is that Victoria Jackson in that one?
No.
Jan Hooks? Jan Hooks.
No. Well, it's David. Come on. David Spade and
Bye-bye now.
What's her name? The one from Twister.
From Twister. Oh my god.
Dude.
And Lost Boys.
Come on. I knew this.
Not Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt. Helen Hunt.
It wasn't Helen Hunt, was it?
Helen Hunt was one of the ones that she was episodes that she was on. She's
a guest, yeah, obviously. Right.
So it was both of them. It was Helen Hunt, David Spade, and they were like, bye-bye now. And, yeah.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Yeah, this is me saying bye-bye. What are you still doing talking to me? Bye-bye. And it was like Jackass Airlines or something, or Bastard Airlines. You know, no. It's because everybody hates their job, and they like to take it out on the customers. And that was kind of like the monologue, you know, that or the captain's speech that you get before as they're landing. Yeah,
right.
We hate our jobs, and we're taking it out on our customers. Deal with it. Bye bye now.
Bye bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!